This is Mythofiction, a world of fantastic tales inspired by Indian mythology and folklore. Today's story is called The Gandharva Choice. Veer was less than an hour away from his long weekend, but the immigration office wasn't going to fall quiet just because he had to leave. He was stuffing his mouth with samosas and stealing glances at the clock on the wall when a familiar shape skulked into view.
Pranam, sire!
Have a seat, Kripalu, Veer said. Would you like some water or something to eat?
I have eaten, sire, Kripalu said. The gods are too kind. We are all fed well in the waiting rooms. Praised be...
That's good. Veer said, interrupting him. He was tired of hearing humans praise the gods. It seemed to be all they ever did. Sometimes he wondered if all of them even meant it. What with all their diseases and their terribly short lifespans.
Sire, Kripalu said, about my application...
I wasn't aware you had applied again, Veer said, taking an obscene bite out of his samosa.
I haven't, sire. I have nothing more to add to my application.
Veer took a gulp of water, his eyes on the clock. Kripalu, I have told you before, you don't meet the criteria. There is that brother of yours, the one who ran away after stealing transporter parts, and your son chose to go live and work in the tooth. You know how seriously the city takes all this, don't you? I'm sorry, Kripalu, but my hands are tied.
I am an old man, sire. Don't hold me responsible for the actions of my brother and my idiot son. All I want is to spend my last days at the feet of the Devas.
It's not so easy, Kripalu, Veer said. And besides, the Devas don't actually live in the city. They just beam down sometimes.
Beam down, sire?
They transport into the city using a... It's a little difficult to explain. See, the Devas live up on Chandrika.
The moon? You mean the moon?
Yes, they live there, on the moon. And they have this beam of light that... Basically, they can go anywhere that light shines.
They ride the beam of light?
Kripalu's eyes widened. It's a little more complicated than that, but yes, you could say that.
The Devas are indeed mighty,
Kripalu said, closing his eyes in prayer.
Praise be upon them. Praise Indra. Praise Varuna.
Veer decided to let him have his moment of devotion, seeing as there was very little else he could have today. The Devas were very particular about who they granted citizenship to, and though he sympathized with the human, he couldn't change his family history. He rose from his seat and was brushing samosa crumbs off his khaki uniform when a woman appeared, apparently out of nowhere, sounding excited.
Oh my gods, are you, aren't you that, oh my gods?
The immigration office is about to close, madam, Veer said, picking up his bag. Could you please return on...
You're him, aren't you?
The woman screamed, turning half the heads in the vicinity.
I love your music. You play like a god.
There was the reason Manavs were required to undergo an extensive orientation procedure before being allowed into Devbhoomi. There were things that you were just never supposed to say. And comparing a Gandharva to a god was definitely one of those things.
Madam, please have a seat, Veer said, throwing awkward smiles in every direction. This is an office, so if you could please keep your voice down.
I'm so sorry,
she replied, pulling a chair back loudly.
It's just that I adore your flute. I listened to your group play at the Tooth last month, and now imagine my luck to see you here, in the flesh. This is amazing.
You visit the Tooth, sire. I didn't know you...
Please be quiet, Kripalu, Veer said.
Although he had never made a secret out of his music habit, he didn't enjoy it being turned into a spectacle in the middle of his workplace.
If you are going to the tooth today, sire, could you give this old man a ride? The boats are just too crowded at this hour.
He's right, said the woman. The boats are just murder in the evenings. I hope the gods do something about them. I once met this fiendish Vanar on my way to...
Madam, please, Veer said. If you could just... Is there something I can do for you?
Well, yes,
the woman said.
There is something I would like you to do for me. I want to... Gods above, I'm blushing. I hope you don't think I am... I mean, you should totally let me know if I'm being forward or anything.
Madam, I am in a bit of a hurry. Could you please just...
Oh, I don't know. I'm feeling just so shy right now.
Kripalu, could you please leave us alone?
But, sire, I can't possibly take a boat back to the tooth.
Look, I don't... I mean... fine. I will take you with me.
No boats, though.
No boats, Veer relented.
After Kripalu had shuffled away really slowly, Veer turned to the woman and said, Look, I mean no disrespect, but I am married to two Apsaras and have 5 children from them. I appreciate you liking our music, but I am not that kind of... I cannot give you what you want.
But I heard you don't live with them anymore, the woman said, and that you haven't been to see your children for more than 4 months. And that nothing has been the same for you ever since the night you let the Rakshas Prajapati take away the chosen one.
Veer's eyes narrowed as his ears stopped listening to all other sounds.
That voice,
he almost whispered.
You, it's you. How could you evade my senses for this long? What magic is this?
I missed you too, Commander, said the Prajapati. As for why your Gandharva senses didn't catch my scent or see through my flimsy disguise, it's obvious, isn't it? You were distracted. You were worried about the loud woman who was embarrassing you before your colleagues. You weren't really paying attention to me. No, your attention was on what other people were thinking.
Very well, you have made your point.
Also, Commander, if you don't mind me saying it, you've kind of let yourself go a little bit. Too many samosas, too little action. It's this desk job, I think. Perhaps your senses aren't what they used to be.
All right. You've made your point.
I do feel somewhat responsible for your demotion.
You shouldn't. I chose this. I take full responsibility and I regret nothing. I do hope you are keeping your promise, though. How is the child doing?
The child is all right, said the Prajapati briefly.
Are you sure? Veer asked.
I haven't killed him, Commander, if that's what you were wondering. I have kept my promise.
The office had grown quiet. Veer realized that most people had left. The clock on the wall told him he would have to leave immediately if he was to catch the last transport to the tooth.
I need to be going, Dark Lord, Veer said, unless there was something else.
The Dark Lord adjusted his sari and stood up before he spoke.
The boy needs a teacher. I came to ask if you would be interested.
Veer stared at the Rakshas Prajapati for a good moment before moving. He then took a bite out of one of the last remaining samosas on his desk and spoke.
Of all the wise men you could have called upon in your dominion, of all the able gurus, clever men and women, you come to me? I must say, Dark Lord, I am beginning to worry about the child.
That night, 6 years ago, you showed me that you believe in this child's future. That, Commander, is a quality I cannot expect to find in any other wise man.
You can stop calling me Commander now, Veer said. And the answer is no. Samosa?
No, thank you, the Prajapati said. We have better samosas in my capital.
Look, I am not about to drop my whole life and travel east to play teacher. I enjoy my life, my obscenely large family, my dangerously oily samosas, and hard as it might be for you to believe, even my desk job. I have no interest in saving the future. I wish I could help, but I am sure you will be able to manage without me.
North, the Prajapati said, picking up the piece of samosa Veer had offered him earlier. The Rakshas dominion is largely to your north. The eastern bits you are referring to are largely Daitya territories. They are my allies, but still independent nations.
I am sorry, Dark Lord, but my answer is no,
Veer said and walked away.
Alone at last in the empty office, the Prajapati put the samosa in his mouth and smiled to himself.
Not even nearly as dangerous as the samosas in my capital.
You just listened to The Gandharva Choice on Mythofiction. It was written and produced by Vijayendra Mohanty. If you liked the story, please share it with your friends and consider leaving a review of our podcast on Apple Podcasts. You can find the link to it in the show notes. If you have questions about this episode, the characters, the world they live in, and if you would like more stories featuring them and their adventures, please tell me on social media. I am Vimo. That's V-I-M-O-H. On Twitter and Instagram. Mythofiction is available on all major podcast platforms such as Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and others. The links can all be found at mythofiction.com. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Thank you for listening. Mythofiction will be back in 15 days with the next chapter in the lives of the Rakshas Prajapati and Veer Das.